Amen. Thank you. Continue our study in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. I think it's providential that we're here. Well, in general aspects. But providential we're here because we just had Christmas, and now we're going to talk about the Lord preparing a body for his son. And the incarnation is probably the number one key mystery in the scriptures. God becoming man. I mean, we say that, but how does that work? And so one of the great mysteries of God. Now, just between you and me, right? Just here. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many got gifts for Christmas you really didn't want? No hands. Have you ever opened up a gift and says, why would someone give me this? And of course, if you went to the store this week, there are kind of long lines, you know, people taking back what? Gifts, presents they really didn't want, and say, okay, so now Todd knows any gift of candy or cakes would is acceptable. That's right. Right. But you know, in a sense, what this passage is saying is the offerings of the Old Testament were cheap gifts. I mean, that's what it says. It takes no pleasure. But it's all we had. You know, that was the theme of the drummer boy, right? He didn't have any presents, so he was going to do what? Going to play his drum for him. That's all he had. And so the best man could offer, the scripture say, well, God took no pleasure in that. But it's all they had to offer. And so let's take a look at this. This passage is probably near the very top when it comes to trying to understand, at least on some basic level, the incarnation. Listen to what it says here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written to me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, it's somewhat confusing to say, well, why did he ask for sacrifices if he didn't desire them or took no pleasure in them? Now, this is a quote out of Psalm 40. John, that's why I had you read the passage. That's a direct quote out of that Psalm 40, verses 6 to 10. Written 1,000 years earlier, Jesus coming. Before the foundation of the world, the Son knew that annual sacrifice would be inadequate, so he offered himself to be the satisfactory offering for the sins of man. Because there's no way that a sheep or a goat or a bull, right, could pay for sin. There's just no way. So God took no pleasure in the Old Testament sacrifices. They were offered according to his will, according to the law, but it did not please him that he received them because they were so inadequate to pay for sins. Now, he was pleased that people would obey him by making the sacrifices, but the sacrifices themselves fell way short. And so, you offer me a sheep, or you offer me a goat, or you offer me a bull, and that's great, but that's not enough payment. You've come up short by quite a bit. Could not satisfy righteousness. So God was not pleased with the quality of the gift or the offering. But in our poverty, that's all we had. It was, if you will, a cheap gift because we didn't have anything else. In our sinful poverty, it was all there was. And so God was not pleased with the quality of the offerings. Say, does this gift satisfy you? You know, it reminds you of when Solomon was going to give a gift to Hiram, and he gave him 20 impoverished villages, and King Hiram says, what's this, my brother? In other words, really? This is your gift to me? And so when we come before the Lord to make an offering, we don't have much to offer. And so that's why when the Lord came, we were given a gift greater than those. And when we became the Lord, our gift back to him needs to be, Romans chapter 12, a living what? Sacrifice, ourselves. That's what he wants, right? He wants us. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to worship him. He wants a relationship with us because he created us, right? That's what he wants. And so the offerings were all that man could give. Nothing man could offer could please God because our sin was so egregious to God that there was no way that we could pay for it. And so we have this. Now, I want you to notice in this passage, it says twice here, I have no pleasure in it. In case you didn't get it the first time, right? He said, I have no pleasure in this. He says, yes, I've commanded the offering, but it's not satisfactory. It falls way short. Now, I want you to notice here, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, volunteers himself. Notice the 3 points it makes. Number one, he volunteered. He says, I come. I come to do your will. Now, I want to hang on that for just a second. Whenever we offer ourselves to God, it's to do what? His will. It doesn't matter what he's asking us to do. Quite often Christians will come to the Lord and say, I will do whatever you want me to do if I want to do it. No, that's not it. It's unconditional what? Surrender to the Lord, right? It's to do his will, period. You know, God came to Moses and says, I want you to go down to Egypt. And Moses said what? I don't want to go. Well, that's not the question. When I say go, you are to go. Came to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I think I'll head the other way. But here, Jesus volunteered, knowing that he would be the sacrifice for sin, even though he was perfect deity, he said, I volunteer. Secondly, I want you to notice here, he surrendered to God's will. He says, I come to do your will. Whatever that is. Now, notice that's what we had, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, if there's a possibility to let this cup pass from me, but not what? My will be done, but your will be done. And so, in other words, he totally surrenders to the will of the Father. Thirdly, I want you to notice this, and this is really where the mystery comes in. He says, and you prepared a body for me. Well, because God couldn't be sacrificed as God, right? I mean, he didn't have a body to sacrifice. He demanded, remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So therefore, the Creator, had to become one of his creatures. I mean, that's astounding. Now, it involves a lot of things that we don't understand. He prepared a body. By the way, this is very unusual language. For example, in Genesis 2:7, when Adam was made, they used the verb form. He was formed out of the dust of the earth. I mean, literally, when someone calls you a dirt bag, it's literally true. I mean, you know, we are made out of the dust of the earth. That's what we are, you know. As a matter of fact, at funerals, quite often when we have a burial, we say ashes to ashes and what? Dust to dust, you know, because that's what, you know, physically we are. When Eve was formed, Genesis 2:18-20, it says she was, he took a rib out of man and he was formed out of the man. Matter of fact, that's exactly what the word woman means, of the man. And so that is used there. After that point, everyone was, according to scriptures, was begotten. So-and-so begotten this, and so-and-so begotten that. And so it's a kind of a natural thing. Man and woman come together and creates a baby, and that's begotten. And so we have parentage. This is the only place where it says a body was prepared. There's several questions we have about this. It was prepared, according to Matthew chapter 1, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you know you'll be found with child. So there was not a union between Joseph and Mary. So it was formed. We don't know several things about this forming of the body. First of all, Mary was a sinner too. So how was it formed? Without sin? Don't know. It's a mystery. Secondly, it had to be formed from Mary because it said that he was a descendant of David, right? He had to be a direct descendant from David. So, how does that work? We don't know, but God did it. The Holy Spirit made it so. Now remember, before Adam fell, he was in his sinless state. Somehow, there was formed a body. We're not told how, but you prepared a body for me. And through the divine mysteries, that was a sinless body that housed a sinless God to make a perfect sacrifice that you and I might have eternal life. What a tremendous mystery. You know, so when David said that I was conceived in sin in my mother's womb, Psalm 51:5, that wasn't so with Jesus. A body was prepared specifically by the Holy Spirit for him. Only place in the scriptures, only place in history of the world that happened. That's why it was a sign. Isaiah 7:14. You know, behold, a virgin shall give forth a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. Okay? So only being joined to a sinless body could a prepared son of the Son of God to be the perfect sacrifice. So he was both sinless and a descendant of David. Hallelujah for the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now, he became, because of this, a last offering. Notice what it goes on and says. God did not desire, by the word thalo in the Greek, means it wasn't his will for animal sacrifice. It wasn't something that he desired. It says, let me offer you this offering of a bull, or let me offer you this offering of a goat. And God receives it, but he said, well, that's not really what I want. And so the will of God wasn't for these animal sacrifices. Those were just a placeholder. a down payment, if you will. Something that would never satisfy. For these, because it had no ability to satisfy, but that's all we had. Now notice what it says, that these were teaching points. It said these sacrifices merely satisfied the law as symbols of the one effective sacrifice that must come to replace all these other sacrifices. Now the offerings were used to teach men that they're sinners. Because how often did the sacrifices have to be made? They had to be made over and over and over and over and over again. You know, when they made the sacrifice at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, next year they had to do what? Had to do it all over again. Because there was sin, and didn't take care of it. Because it was not effectual. So it's a teaching point. First of all, number one, that we're sinners. Number two, when we made the sacrifice, it didn't remove the sin. It didn't remove the guilt. And number three, there is a point that only God can somehow solve this. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in. To placate God means there had to be a better sacrifice. Now, due to the fact that God desired a better sacrifice, now this is beautiful what happens here. He had to take away the old sacrifice that he might replace it with the new sacrifice, which was done once and for all. Now, the reason why he is hammering this point home is because the Jewish believers were still holding on to the old sacrifice and say, listen, that's taken care of. There is a new priest after the order of Melchizedek. That old sacrifice, that old system is done away with because it didn't please God. If something doesn't please the Lord, then you need to get rid of it. And so the old sacrifice had to be removed so that the new sacrifice would be all that be left. The two sacrificial systems could not exist side by side. God do to do that? And this is just, again, the brilliance of God. Number one, remember, and the Jews did not realize this, but when God had moved the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle to the temple, then it had to be exactly at that spot. So if you get rid of the temple, you cannot go back to the tabernacle because God had set up worship at the temple. Now, the reason why this is important, in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus, who became emperor, he came, surrounded Jerusalem, and he offered a deal. He said, listen, if you surrender, I'll save your temple. They refused to surrender, and so not only did he destroy the walls of Jerusalem, and not only did he destroy Jerusalem, he destroyed the temple. And not, remember what Jesus predicted? That not one stone would be left on top of the other, and not to make sure that the temple was totally disgraced, Titus ordered to be burned. So everything in the temple was burned. Everything was just desecrated, destroyed. So the Lord, through this Roman general, had removed the old sacrificial system, and the only thing left was the new one, which was Jesus Christ. And so since the Old Testament sacrifices were offered by sinful men used in mortal animals, they were ineffective. But since Jesus' sacrifice was completed by the Holy Son of God used in a sinless body, the offering was effectual for sin for all time. So he had to be sacrificed once and for all. Yom Kippur was a sacrifice every single year. Jesus had to do it once, because number one, God was pleased with it. Number two, it was effectual. Number three, it established a new system by which we can remove, have our sins removed, and have eternal life. And so all other religious systems, including the Old Testament, failed to provide an effective means of salvation. But we find in Romans chapter 6 that when Jesus died on the cross, our sins were nailed to the cross with him. And he will throw it in the deepest sea of his memory and remember it no more. The sacrifice is such that we can be assured, sitting right here, that we have eternal life. Amen? Now listen carefully as we conclude here. If he gave us this great sacrifice, the Son of God taken on flesh, as a matter of fact, one of the most awesome thoughts that I've ever had was, he's in that flesh forever. Matter of fact, not only is he in this flesh forever, but the nail prints are what? Still in his hands, in his side, in his feet. He did it for us. Then how do we respond to such a great sacrifice? And the only reasonable response, Paul says, Romans chapter 12, is that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you make your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him. Are you a living sacrifice for the one who sacrificed for you this morning? If there's any New Year's resolution worthy for all time, that's it. That, Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice for you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the living sacrifice, a body prepared for your Son, that he might please you to do your will. And that will is the fact that he would be the deliverer of mankind, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I would pray that that would be the case with everyone here and everyone that's listening online. But also I'd pray, Lord, that we become more and more living sacrifices for you, that you might use us in a way that pleases you, that we would echo what Jesus said, that it was written in the book, that I've come to do your will, O Lord. Lord, use us for your glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.